Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday edition of Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. The guy in the Hulk shirt, that's Brian Kelly.
I'm Hulk, I'm Brian.
How you doing, hey, big guy?
You know, I'm good. I got down to this studio here. I'm pretty excited. We got some things to install, stuff to play with. It's like every time I have something to install, it's a nice, it's like a new Lego box that I open up and, you know, put it together and stuff.
Where did these pieces go today?
Oh, and a lot of times with Legos, there's always a little bit of extra pieces, but with radio equipment, there's always like way too many extra pieces.
A concerning amount of extra pieces, almost?
Let's double check that all the time.
Did we put everything where we were supposed to?
Probably not, is the answer.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Folks, if you're hearing us, it means that Brian did put everything in the right spot for the array of Civic Media radio stations around the state of Wisconsin, broadcasting from the Solidarity Realty Studios here in Madison. That's where I'm located right now, for Devil Radio 92.7. You're holding down the fort in the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. And
I was just telling everybody they can join us on 844-967-2789. If you don't hear us right now, give us a call.
That one to linger. That's just a fun one to let linger. I will not be fooled again by the dihydrogen monoxide one.
Yeah. Dihydrogen monoxide.
Yeah, yes. I won't.
We should ban the use of dihydrogen monoxide.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere, folks. It's honestly everywhere.
Speaking of dihydrogen monoxide, we're screwed. That says pretty much it. That's it. I don't know. So a little bit ago, I want to let's start with a book. Let's start with a book. Mm-hmm. A book recommendation for everybody. I really think that if you want to read a local author, a local, you know, good old Wisconsin local author, Dan Egan, E-G-A-N, wrote a book called The Death and the Life of the Great Lakes. It's a primer for understanding what we're going to talk about today. I'll try and fill you in as much as we can. But the ecosystem of the Great Lakes, I don't know if you know this, but the Great Lakes are one of the largest sources of fresh water in the world, if not the largest. In fact, if let's say, I don't know, disaster strikes, or let's say we all decide to, let's just say the really rich people decide to have, the younger sons kill each other, and it ends up in bad ways.
If a foreign corporation comes in to try to stick a straw into one of them, maybe. Yeah.
Part of the reason they do that is because that's the largest reserve of fresh water. Also, the reason why most people, if they're sane or want to, you know, control anything after nuclear holocaust, won't blow this area up, because the fresh water here is very valuable. So it's so valuable, but also the ecosystem there
is delicate.
Is very freaking delicate. They put in, they introduced a couple new species just to, you know, shake things up, maybe see. You know what? It really messed up the entire ecosystem of the Great Lakes, involving things like, I don't know, massive die-offs of trillions of species, the alewives coming up, and they had to use backhoes to go and pull them out. Also, there's, you know, the zebra mussels issues. There's also carp coming
Asian
in.
Carp, and, yep.
Yeah. All this stuff. So you, why? What's the problem? What if one species dominates over the other? It's all the same, right? No. Because things eat different things, and those things have, you know, chloroform in them, and, you know, some things control the algae population. If you get giant algae blooms, the water's poisonous. You know, there's a lot of different things. Ecosystems are fragile, especially ones that I don't know is the entire engine and source of all life on the planet, and also happens to be in our backyard.
Yeah, the ramifications of invasive species are very great.
And that's just a small little tweak.
Yeah, and when you throw them into the Great Lakes, which are all interconnected, and we necessarily didn't have the knowledge decades ago, centuries ago, about what these invasive species would mean. Now we know, Brian, and we also know what the regular patterns on the Great Lakes should be looking like. And right now, we're more than halfway through January. We are trugging right along through the winter season here in Wisconsin. And you've pointed out throughout the month of December and January, because I let you know when we've got snow here. It's been a snow day in Madison. We got a couple inches overnight. And you just let me know every time. Did you get any last night, or was it all rain?
Oh, no. My backyard is a swamp. Yeah. It is just wet, and all it was rain. Which is great, because you don't shovel, and people are like, yay, no shoveling. And then people are like, oh, there's not much ice, or the ice is really thin on the lake. Oh, man, the fishermen, the ice fishers, that's what the problem is. No. You know what the problem is? Part of the cycle and life cycle of the entire ecosystem of the Great Lakes is that it freaking freezes. Like the lakes have to freeze for this current ecosystem to continue going the way it is.
It's been part of the natural order, and it's not happening this year, Brian. And this is reporting over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's mid-January, and the Great Lakes are virtually ice-free. That's a problem.
Yeah, you remember how I said a tiny little tweak, like introducing, I don't know, four different fish into one giant Great Lake can possibly make a problem? Yeah. Yeah.
And
remind me to tell you someday about how the St. Lawrence Canal being too small actually saved all of our lives anyway because of an engineering snafu. At the time, really screwed up a bunch of different economic opportunities, but actually probably saved our lives. Anyway.
Yeah. And tell you about that later. That's a problem. That's not me editorializing, Brian.
Yeah.
That is the headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written up by Caitlin Loby?
Luby. That's Luby. Luby.
So, apologize, even, Caitlin, if I got it wrong, but Luby or Loby, one of the two.
Luby or Luabi. You do that. Either way, Caitlin has an article in the Journal Sentinel, and it's really awesome.
And it's a very important read because, like you said, Brian, some people may be like, oh, this is really mild winter. This is nice. We don't have to deal with the snow. We don't have to deal with the shoveling. But not having ice on the Great Lakes has ramifications. And if we just want to pretend like they're not a problem, like this isn't a problem, or that there's nothing we could do about it, I think that that's taking a very defeatist attitude towards what is serious and the economic driver for our region. The Great Lakes are the economic driver for our region. And the fact that they are not freezing over is a big deal. And Caitlin does an excellent job of outlining the five reasons of why we need to be talking about how there's very little ice on the Great Lakes this year.
Mm-hmm. They said that ice cover is at a near record low, but things can change if it drops really cold, basically. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty with that. Also, let's not forget, when there's ice cover, it reflects light. When there's no ice cover, it makes it warmer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder to freeze later on in the season.
And you get it being warmer, you still have that lake effect by you, so therefore you get less snow, and then it continues. Like, these things perpetuate themselves, right?
Yes. It snowballs.
So we're not at a specific low. We're near record low, but we're 18% below where the Great Lakes were this time last year. That's almost a fifth.
I didn't use my snowblower at all last year.
Seriously,
I think I used it once. I've used it once this year just for, I literally am not exaggerating. I just did a snowdrift because I didn't feel like shoveling it. That's it. I could have easily shoveled it. I just didn't feel like doing it. That's the only reason I turned. I also wanted to see if it worked. That's literally it. So here's another thing. Less ice means more snow.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. In the winter, when cold, dry air masses move across lakes, they pick up water along the way through evaporation. When the air mass hits land, it drops all that water through lake effect snow. Ice cover acts as a shield, stopping water from evaporating off the lake. So when there is less ice, people around the lakes typically see more lake effect snow. Haven't seen either, just a whole bunch of rain. Ice cover can be disastrous.
Yeah.
The end of November, more than 6 feet of snow fell in Buffalo, New York. You all remember that. Made a big deal about that. Sits on the shores of Lake Erie. A few lakes later, more than 4 feet of snow covered the city and surrounding areas once again. The storm resulted in 44 deaths in Erie and Niagara counties, which sits on Lake Erie and Ontario, respectively. During stormy winter months, ice cover temperatures tempers waves. When there is low ice cover, waves can be much larger, leading to lakeshore flooding and erosion. That's not a problem, huh? That happened in January 2020 along Lake Michigan's southwestern shoreline. Record high lake levels mixed with winds whipped up 15-foot waves that flooded shorelines, leading Governor Tony Evers to declare a state of emergency for Milwaukee, Racine, and Kenosha counties.
And the Great Lakes are losing ice with climate change. So this is a problem that, again, it gets exacerbated.
It's not getting better.
It's building. Of the last 25 years, 64% had below average ice, said Michael Norato, the director of Center of Climate Research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The steepest declines have been in the north, including Lake Superior, northern Lake Michigan, and Huron in the near shore areas. But it also comes with a lot of ups and downs, largely because warming is causing the jet stream to meander, Fujisaki Manoa said. That's an expert quoted in this piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And so, Brian, we've seen that, where we are having these giant storms coming through, like in Buffalo, dropping a ton of snow and then melting, and then again coming back with more snow. It is...
But allowing the jet stream to meander isn't really...
That's a very generous way to just say that we are changing the jet stream.
Yeah.
The jet really stream is changing because there's no ice on the Great Lakes.
And then lastly, no ice makes waves in the lake's ecosystems. Yeah. Lake whitefish, a mainstay in the lake's fishing industry and an important food source for other fish like walleye. You like the walleye every Friday. Are one of the many Great Lakes fish that will be impacted, said Ed Rutherford, a fishery biologist who also works at the Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory. Rutherford is also mentioned in that book I told you about, The Death and Life of the Great Lakes. Definitely check it out. So, yeah.
Those are just the ramifications. Screwed, very little ice. There's a lot more. That's just a summary of those five. We're going to continue the conversation. We'll also take your tangents, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. And you can call or text that number.
You know those geese? They haven't left. I went outside and I literally saw thousands of geese doing circles out in front of the Great Lakes.
There's a lot
January,
of consequences.
And there's Canadian piles geese of Canadian geese still here, not in Canada.
We're going to continue the conversation, get to some other headlines and some tangents. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. History shows again and again how Nathan wipes up the valley of men. Godzilla! Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian. We got Evan on the board. Thank you, Evan, for making sure that every portion of this show gets shared with the Civic Media Network during the 2 o'clock hour. We really appreciate you. Folks, if you want to learn more about something fun that we're doing here in the month of January, a week from today, Thursday, January 26th, Civic Media will be doing $1 million advertising giveaway. It's huge. It is free advertising. If you are a small business here in the state of Wisconsin and want to learn more, head over to the website. You can sign up to be reminded when the portal opens at 9 a.m. 1 week from today, Thursday, January 26th.
That's a week from now, man.
Yeah, it's coming up fast. Coming up fast. You get the opportunity.
Get on it. Make sure you get the alert.
Yeah, you'll get the opportunity to work with the Civic Media sales team here. We will help you craft a message to share over our airwaves and promote your business. Again, Thursday, January 26th, head to the website. There are banners all over civicmedia.us. That's the website, and you can learn more there. There are some rules and restrictions that apply, but be sure to let them know that Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian sent you because, you know, Chris and Bri, host of As Goes Wisconsin, her and Jane are throwing down the gauntlet, saying that they're gonna get a lot of businesses to say that
it's easy when you have your own giant Facebook following in 3 hours for the show, but that's fine.
We're small but mighty, Brian.
They'll be so sad when just an hour long show just outpulls them and the two guys that are working up until 15 minutes before their show. you know, out pulls what they got. That's fine. I mean, listen, I didn't have an issue until someone threw. No, listen, they threw down. You tell me they throw down the gauntlet. I'm all right.
It's true.
Listen, I don't start fights. I end them, buddy.
Yeah, that sounds about right, Bri. That sounds about right for how long I've known you.
I did call in today. I'm contributing to their show and making their show better. I probably should stop that. Man, this
no,
whole...
here at Civic Media, I was clearing the driveway. Normally on Thursdays, I like to join Pat Kreitlow on Up North News Radio. And
oh, I heard about that. I was dropping off Darby at the time, and he was not excited about that.
No, I apparently got fired from the spot. I don't think I'm allowed to call in anymore. He told me I'm.
Oh my goodness.
I've been let go from contributing to Up North News Radio.
You got to be reliable. Folks, if you wanted to hear that interview, Todd Alba was on today on the last segment of the Up North News podcast.
Yeah.
Did a great show. It was a great interview. Honestly, better than whoever. I forget who was supposed to be on, but I know that Todd Alba did a great job. It's very important to know.
The snowfall had me clearing the driveway at the time, and I got back inside, and I was like, oh, it's that time.
What?
Oops.
What is snow?
What is
snow? Here's an idea.
Well, here in the Midwest.
Here's what I think they're going to do. And this is, I'm just imagining if there was a Republican solution to this. Take all the snow
hang on.
Inland.
Hang on. How do you cut taxes on snow? I don't understand how a Republican solution would fit this problem.
No. Well, this is more of a Trumpian Republican solution. Take all the inland snow that we've plowed and push it into Lake Michigan. Huh?
Through what? Huh? What?
See, I see a problem, and I like, you guys have too much snow.
See, that doesn't,
and then
that doesn't sound like the Trump solution. That sounds like the SpongeBob solution, where they're just like, let's move it over there, and they just all start pushing the city of Bikini Bottom away from whatever was the impending doom.
No, that goes the other way. That's when we move everybody from Milwaukee
elsewhere
back to where there's no flooding, because the lakes can't, it's not going anywhere because there's no, and then... by that point, it'll be at least 100 degrees. By then, we'll all be moved to Canada. At least the smart ones will. So, all right.
But Brian's getting ready to migrate north, unlike those Canadian
Canada has freshwater lakes. But the wilderness now, that's the thing, is that you got to have vision here. The wilderness now in Canada is a tundra. It's just a tundra in the middle of nowhere.
But it'll be
what I recommend is going to I think it's Saskatchewan or Winnipeg or something like that. Like one of those big cities in the middle of freaking nowhere. Find and start your own new suburb, because in 10 years that property value is going to be skyrocketed. I'm telling you that right now. You think the Great Lakes, there's going to be a battle zone. There's going to be a war zone. No nuclear, but they're going to kill everybody on the way in. It's totally fine. It'll be fine. It'll be wars over water, and we'll be up in Canada with our new suburb that we founded outside of Saskatchewan or Winnipeg or one of those.
I had a fun prompt in college. For geopolitics, and it was where do you think World War III would be waged, and the Great Lakes region over freshwater was my response to that prompt. And it's terrifying to actually think about, Brian. But
it's not going to be nuclear. That's the important thing, guys. We're going to have a long slogging out like the Ukraine war right now. It's going to be great.
Do you think that the only way that we will get individuals to, care about the fact that there's no ice on the Great Lakes is just let them know that the price is going to skyrocket for their walleye fish fry on Friday nights? Or how do we get more people?
Oh no, they'll blame Joe Biden for that. The people that there's a proportionate amount of people that are going out for fish fry every Friday night at the same place for the same time at the same table for the past decades. Those are the same people who will blame Joe Biden and not everybody, the entire world, for screwing the environment up, and not the obvious thing. They will blame Joe Biden instead.
Well,
and then we'll get somebody else in who probably will exacerbate the problem. Again, moving to Canada, dude. I'm not saying it because I love this country. I think it'd be odd. But there's a certain point where you go, wow, is this this is 2 years in a row I'm not going to use my snowblower, man.
Well, you might as well sell it then. Who knows? You may never have to use it again, depending on where.
See, that's the other thing. I bought it kind of brand new, used it one season. Now, I'm gonna have something that's valued later on. Like later on, it'll be like an antique. Like, remember when there used to be snow and
remember
this used
when
to be
we
relevant?
Used to need this? I used mine this morning, so I think I'm still gonna be clearing snow.
Remember
here
when Nome, Alaska, wasn't a major metropolis?
The good old days, Brian. The good old days, folks. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to share a tangent with us on this Thursday afternoon, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. We're going to continue the conversation and jump to a new tangent when we get back. Talk to you then.
You're snapping a bass, man.
I snap a bass.
I love you, man.
I love you too, man.
It's great.
It's great. It's great. Slapping the bass. And that was an excellent drop. E, thank you very much.
You know, folks, if we were not as much of a, you know, maybe if we didn't have such a high moral standard in this culture, we would probably take Paul Rudd and grind him up and figure out what the secret to longevity is. Because that man has been 30 or 40 for like 40 or 50 years.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thrilled. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. So,
did you watch She-Hulk, Attorney at Law?
Oh, yeah. Man,
I just saw the Mr. Immortal episode.
Nice. Nice.
This guy, to fill everybody in, this guy, he doesn't die. He just continues to live. And, he continues to throw himself into traffic or get into accidents where he dies to go and get out of the marriages he's
in. Yeah, I was going to say, he has many, 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 many marriages. And to get out of them, he fakes his death because he's immortal. So by participating in an accident that looks like he would die, he just walks it off after he's done.
Fun fact that that guy, Mr. Immortal, is played by David Pasquazi, who's one of the two, three best improvisers alive on this planet. If you ever have a chance to be in New York or Chicago when the TJ and Dave show is playing, you have to go see it because it is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity every time you see it, and they are the two best improvisers I've ever seen in my entire life. They have made me cry, they have made me laugh, and I've been amazed every time I've seen them.
Nice. I did not know that. I thought it was a terrific. A lot of people commentating on She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, saying that it was not either based in the comics or a good show in general. And I think those people are all wrong on both accounts.
So. Oh, for sure. For sure. It's a different tone than a lot of the Marvel things, but it works perfectly.
But it's also very funny when people, because yes, you and I are now talking heads, but everybody's got a platform. They can go on social media, critique things, and everybody's like, I don't like when She-Hulk does the Deadpool thing and then breaks the fourth wall, and then you find out that oh, the She-Hulk comic was doing that before Deadpool was doing it. Oh, weird, interesting. So tell me more why you don't like it then, and then when you really start to pull on that thread, you get to a pretty common denominator on a lot of those folks of why they're saying they don't like She-Hulk,
which is also one of the major themes of the show itself, which is fantastic because you know what, if you don't like the show, there's a really good reason why. For the most part, it's probably talking about you anyway. That was a tangent we got onto.
That's I will always
entertain. We are doing tangents of the important thing.
I'll entertain a Marvel tangent any day of the week. Day ends in Y, I'm there with you. So,
All right. Let's go see Quantumania and then talk about the physics involved.
Well, the PIM particle physics are a very fascinating thing to begin with, but
It involves why gravity is just a theory and not a law.
Yes, yes, folks. Let's get back to the headlines here in Wisconsin, though. We'll save those conversations for maybe another day. Because yes, the Great Lakes are warming, but here in Wisconsin. You know, Brian, there's other more important matters that need to be discussed besides the Great Lakes ecosystem being allowed to meander, allow the jet stream to meander.
Jet stream meander, that couldn't be bad at all.
This one, I To be honest, I saw it and I thought I had to do a double take to make sure it wasn't an Onion headline.
Is it horse loving? Is it horse loving?
It's not horse loving, but it's adjacent to that because, again, another story over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin Supreme Court to rule on court ordered ivermectin for COVID-19.
I'm going to need you to read that sentence out loud once again, just because a human being that is paid to write sentences wrote it, and it must be noteworthy so to be a headline. So read this again.
Wisconsin Supreme Court to rule on court-ordered ivermectin for COVID-19.
Did not okay, have you're going to have to walk me through this one.
Did not have it on my 2023 bingo card that we were going to be reading anything about.
That was 2 years ago bingo ivermectin. Card.
Yeah, it is a flash from the past because we had this conversation. I don't know if we had it on the airwaves, Brian, but I know we've definitely discussed this story off air if we did not include it in a show back in what it would have been 2021.
We've been on the air for 2 decades. It's fine. I don't know. And it's fine. It works for George Santos. I'll just say whatever comes to my head. It's fine.
Oh, we got some George Santos tangents to come up, but maybe we'll get to those
yeah.
in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's a fun thing. It's it involves your participation if you want.
You just fill in whatever you're thinking about and just say, well, work for George Santos.
Yeah. We'll get into that a little bit. Let's keep going on the actual subject at hand.
Written up by Corey Hess over at the Journal Sentinel. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is deciding whether a hospital should have been forced to give a patient ivermectin to treat COVID-19, a ruling that will have implications on how far the court can intervene in the decisions of healthcare providers. So the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case Gall v. Aurora Health on Tuesday of this week, Brian.
So in all of our discussions about the race for Supreme Court, a lot of that has been centered around whether we should elect our officials or have them appointed, because to be a Supreme Court justice usually, I don't know, should carry a little bit of weight with it. And also maybe you should have a little bit of a quote unquote grasp of the law to really understand it. But that hasn't really happened with a couple of justices. I think of former Justice Gableman not understanding how elections work, yet he was elected.
His words.
I'm not making up stuff, guys.
No.
Point is that if we already have a question on the Supreme Court whether they are good enough to be justices, what makes us think that they are really good at determining outcomes for, let's say, prescribing medication that the FDA hasn't approved?
Well, this is about forcing a healthcare provider to provide that medication if they were not the individuals that prescribed said medication. So, reading from the piece, when Alan Gall's uncle, John Zingsheim, was put on a ventilator in October 2021 due to the complications from COVID-19, he got a prescription for ivermectin from a doctor not associated with Aurora Medical Center Summit, where his uncle was hospitalized. When doctors at Aurora refused to provide and administer the drug, Gall sued. As you point out, the Food and Drug Administration has not approved the use of ivermectin to prevent or treat COVID-19 infections and has warned users about its potential risks to those who are infected.
You know, just like George Santos, I went to Harvard Law, and I have some insight here on this. This whole argument really pretty much comes down to the fact that they chose to be at Aurora in the first place. Because I know that when you become hospitalized and go into an emergency room, you have choices. That's what the American healthcare system provides you, so much choice. So if they had wanted to have ivermectin, they should have shopped around to all the hospitals they have at their disposal and looked around to find the right healthcare that they would... Oh, wait, no, we have a healthcare system that would basically screw this guy anyway. Oh, that's good. That's probably the people who are trying to push for ivermectin are the same people who made sure that we never have, universal healthcare, which probably would have maybe helped out in the first place in this entire thing to begin with, stopping him from maybe being vulnerable to COVID-19 in the first place. But again, I'm going a little bit down the way. I'm going down to my medical background because I also got a PhD. It's fine. It's nothing big. It's just a little thing I did on the weekend. George Santos was a classmate of mine. We studied
associate professor, I thought. I thought he was teaching you. I thought George Santos taught you.
We studied together, but he actually learned so much. He got promoted to teacher's assistant. They actually gave him the degree, and he left the university a little bit early.
Was that before or after his time in Brazil? Timelines get a little messy when you start pulling on the George Santos thread.
No, it's hard because the guy invented a teleportal system, and I didn't know where on the timeline he actually went through it.
That's and Paul Rudd as Ant-Man really helped out with that one, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's that.
From what I heard. From
you didn't know that you didn't know George Santos actually is Paul Rudd?
I just heard they were best friends.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly. Just like Kent and Superman.
Giving a little bit more of the timeline of how this case now is before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The Waukesha County Circuit Court ordered the hospital to give Zingsheim the ivermectin. Yes. But then the judge revised his order saying Gall would have to supply the drug and a doctor to administer it, according to Wisconsin Public Radio. The case then went...
Like you do from your emergency bed.
The case then went to the Court of Appeals District 2, where the majority concluded that the court had no legal authority to force Aurora Health to administer the drug.
Why would you? Why would anybody have if they weren't legal authority to tell...
If one of their medical professionals was not the prescribing physician on the ivermectin prescription... Why would they be forced to administer the drugs that they don't believe treats the cause of the symptoms that led to the hospitalization? It does not make sense, Brian, to the point where, continuing on with the piece, the litigation center of the American Medical Association and state medical societies and Wisconsin Medical Society filed briefs with the Wisconsin Supreme Court urging the court to affirm the appellate court ruling that found the law doesn't give, quote, a patient or a patient's agent the right to force private hospitals or physicians to administer a particular treatment that they conclude is below the standard of care.
I think there's an obvious solution here. And I think they could just call up one senator from Kentucky and say, you know, how did you create your own board to basically certify yourself as a doctor? Because this man could create his own board to certify himself as a doctor and then prescribe himself the medication, and then he can take it. That's what Rand Paul did to
with
be an ophthalmologist. Yeah. Why not apply that same amazing logic?
Well, you don't even have to
ivermectin to go and game the system so that you can get forced to make yourself have horse paste. That's good.
You don't even have to go to Kentucky to do that. You could do that here in Wisconsin with the senior senator of our state as well, because he was the one pretty much promoting residents of Wisconsin to go and try other things. He said, why not try it? Just take a whole bunch of drugs.
I'm picturing someone with a tube, like kind of like the Ryan Reynolds movie where she's eating the toothpaste and she's just eating toothpaste the whole time. I just picture people with like... mouths full of ivermectin and like slobber coming out, just ivermectin.
Well, you might not be able to catch him here in Wisconsin, though, because and ask the senator about it, Senator Ron Johnson, because he does spend a lot of his time in Florida at his vacation home down there.
It has to be 200 degrees there now.
No, it's very nice where he bought the multi-million dollar home down in Florida. I believe Fort Myers area, and that's where he was doing his media hits over on the Sunday shows when he got in a tizzy with Chuck Todd over the weekend. So you might have a hard time asking Senator Ron Johnson about it here in Wisconsin, but this is the ramifications of having a U.S. senator lobby individuals to take ivermectin, because then you get to the point where they're going and finding prescriptions from somebody not at the actual medical center where they're receiving treatment, but somebody that did sign off on that prescription for ivermectin. And now we have a court case where the medical societies here in Wisconsin are saying, please, Wisconsin Supreme Court, confirm the appellate court's ruling that says there is no authority for the state to enforce a healthcare provider to mandate something that it believes is below its standard of care to treat something that federal regulators have not cleared to treat what is the ailment. The disease, the COVID-19 infection.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the Republican way. Tell the doctors what they can and can't do because they're the medical experts. That's what they work with abortion, so it works out for everybody else because that works, right? By the way, this does jive. This does work hand in hand, like just beautifully with the last major piece of legislation the Wisconsin legislature passed, and that was the anti-horse loving bill. So very major legislation by the Republican Party here, and I think that's why we're going to be pushing for some more horse paste, because no horse loving, but horse paste is fine. Forced horse loving is a felony, but forced horse paste ingestion, that's the law.
That's weird.
No, it's the law.
Folks,
I know this because I, again, went to Harvard Law.
With George Santos. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian. We're going to get to the phone lines when we get back on the other side of this commercial break. If you want to share a tangent, 844-967-2789.
Paste it if you got it.
I don't care what drug will work. Try a bunch of them.
No.
Give me a flammable light, cold as a match, ready to strike. So here I go. Here lies a city on fire.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're up to across the state of Wisconsin, head over to the website, civicmedia.us. You can check out podcasts of previous shows. You can learn more about the $1 million advertising giveaway, which we covered in the second segment earlier this show. And you can just learn maybe to sign up for updates on where our next stations may be popping up here in the great state of Wisconsin. And Brian,
you can go there to go and check out our $1 million ad giveaway.
I said that.
I know, you really should. I just want to mention it again.
We can't mention enough. And do tell them, if you're signing up to learn more about the $1 million advertising giveaway, that Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian sent you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most importantly, just don't choose Asgo's Wisconsin, because they apparently laid down a gauntlet and or threw down the hammer or some sort of phrase that really means that. And now we're totally in competition. Like, really.
We are the David really fighting against the 3-hour Goliath of Asgo's Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Yeah.
Totally mean. Just cutthroat. That's all it is. In fact.
Brian, let's head over to the phone lines. We can get some tangents shared with us. We got Pizza Box Mike calling in. Pizza Box, what's on your mind today?
Wow, why are you guys so surprised about the ivermectin? I mean, the Republicans get everything straight from the horse's mouth. Or is it the other end? Wait a second here.
Are there flavors of ivermectin, or is it just liver?
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's different flavors for sure. Kind of like the Soylent choices in the world.
Is it going to be like kids' fluoride? You can get the bubble gum or the grape?
Well, they're already talking about that there's fetuses in our food supply now. Did you hear about that one? I mean, it just gets wackier every day, and people bite on it. But I was at the Capitol, and I wanted to – I mean, here's my tangent. The best way to avoid, Biden versus Trump is to not have it be Biden versus Trump again, okay?
Wait. No, wait, stop. My head might explode here. Are you really saying that?
Yeah, that's the best way to avoid something like that. And you know what? I've heard this. How many times you got to hear it's the right guy for the right time? Hey, we're running out of time. I don't want either of them on board. I've always been voting the lesser of two evils, but it's time for us to, like, get a fresh start in this country. I will say this, though. While I was at the Capitol outside the assembly while they're on the floor, those bastards, I was trying it out. I was doing Biden-Trump 2024. Woo!
You're cheering for what you don't want?
Are you saying that they should
be on the same ticket?
Wasn't that funny? I thought of that afterwards. I'm like, yeah, they should be co-presidents, right? We'd all do well under that system.
And then in each press conference, they'll say the other one is the vice president.
Yes, and you know what? It's going to be tough to be more progressive as long as Joe Manchin's still there, right? So, people, you need to know what we got to work on before you go to work on it. And, yeah, you know, coming straight from the horse's ass, that's everything what the Republicans do.
Thanks for the call, Pizza Box. And you know what? The important thing is that we're all going to be underwater anyway. So
I was going to say, Brian's moving well beyond the 2024 presidential talks.
He's moving up
to Canada. He's going to find a nice little prairie spot in Saskatchewan. And that's where Brian's going to...
It's a nice suburb of Winnipeg somewhere, maybe. I don't know. A future suburb is my point, near a water source. I don't know. We're going to terraform Canada instead. That's good, right? It's totally easy to do. You can do it. Just get Elon Musk. It'd be fine. Just press a button, and that's how it works. Terraforming. Done.
Done.
Just like this. It's just as easy as letting Jack from Merrimack talk right now. How you doing, Jack? You're on the air.
All right. Yeah. It seems like our state Supreme Court seems to confuse the graduate degrees that they have, a JD and an MD. Now, I understand the confusion. They both have two letters, and they both end in D, but there's a difference. And those with a JD should not be trying to do what an MD does, I don't think. Of course, that doesn't stop our legislators from trying to determine what women's medical rights are, or for that matter, our Supreme Court. But that's my take on this, anyway.
The important thing, Jack, is that you're giving them enough credit to think that they're even considering MD or JD or any of that, because honestly, a lot of them are just echoing what their donors told them to do anyway. So,
well, that's the scary
part.
Their
donors say they want them to take ivermectin, so let's give the people and force them to have ivermectin if they, or at least allow people to be forced to have it.
Well, this should be a no-brainer, too, for the Wisconsin Supreme Court to be able to rule on, and I don't know where they're going to rule. So that's the fun nature of living in Wisconsin.
I'd love to see the both sides debate in this one.
Just, and a little tangent off of this story too, Brian. Do you know who the attorney is representing the party suing to force Aurora to treat with ivermectin?
I got two guesses.
Okay, let's hear them both.
Jim Troupas?
Nope.
Bob Spindell.
Oh, it was very close guesses, but all kind of adjacent. The individual that the attorney representing Gall is Karen Muller, who said the case would show the people of Wisconsin if they really have any rights or if they are just suggestions. And if they are suggestions, why do we have a legislature? If the name sounds familiar, Karen Muller was the third place finisher for the Republican Attorney General race last November or August would have been the primary. And so she was campaigning in concert with Timothy Rantham. And she pretty much said if she was elected Attorney General of Wisconsin, that she would go and investigate hospitals for not prescribing and administering ivermectin to treat COVID-19.
You know, some people would just do tests on it and maybe write a paper and, you know, have it peer reviewed, but that's science. So what do I know? I just learned about that. And I did that in a weekend course with George Santos. Let's go back to Tom from McFarland.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, I think this is a case that perfectly encapsulates how Republicans govern. And I, by the way, just as a correction, I understand that the lead attorney on this case is actually George Santos. I understand that he is...
that's understood. Sorry, I apologize.
But right now in our country, there are a ton of licenses and regulations that go into medical facilities. Everything from how medical professionals need to be licensed to the accreditation of a hospital. And right now, if any medical professional or facility intentionally delivers care that is below the standard of care, that is huge. I mean, that will get you shut down pretty darn quick. Well, here's a case that will now establish a precedent that will allow hospitals to deliver a substandard of care. In fact, not only will they be able to do this, but they'll be required to do this.
That's great. It's the American way, Tom. Providing more choice for less people.
It's the Republican way, that's for sure. You want to know who was at the Supreme Court hearing on Tuesday as well for the attorney, Karen Mueller? Tim Rantham was in the House, and so was Harry Waite, the voter fraud that was down to Racine requesting absentee ballots that were not his.
Birds of a feather don't have feathers because they don't exist and they're not real.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.